The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So again, a really warm welcome to everybody. It's nice to be here. Nice to see you all. Some of you were just on this retreat that Nikki and I taught, and it's nice to see you back, that we didn't scare you away and that you didn't run screaming. Yeah, it was really lovely to practice with you all in that kind of extended way. So thank you for that. So tonight I wanted to talk a little bit about this idea that loving kindness practice is a way in which we can affect or change or alter, shift maybe some of the ways in which not only the way we show up in the world, but also ways in which we view what's happening. So our both our behavior and our interpretation of what's happening. And of course, this affects our behavior too. And so loving kindness, like, so while it's this practice that can help open the heart and can help us feel connected with other people, it also can shift the way that maybe we interpret what we discover. That is, maybe if somebody sends us an email that feels a little bit short and curt, then maybe in the past we might have taken a little bit of offense and gone through our mind like, oh, did I do something to harm this person? Or oh, well, this person is a little bit rude and maybe I don't like them after all. But maybe instead it's like, oh, maybe they were just on their phone and wanted to just quickly send something out, and whether sending in line at the grocery store or, you know, something like this. We'd just be more ready to just give them the benefit of the doubt and not to assign something that's a little bit negative or assign something that's limiting to the interaction. Instead, to have a little bit more openness and giving people the benefit of the doubt. Wow, what a difference this makes in a person's life. Right? It's one thing if you're expecting or experiencing people to be treating you one way, and what if another way, if you your life unfolds differently, if you are interpreting things differently. And one way that illustrates this is a story that is just very short, and it's not attributed to anybody, even though it's a collection of quotes. So this is a book by Jack Kornfield, and it's called The Art of Forgiveness, Loving Kindness, and Peace. And he has this very short story, and it goes like this. A stranger walked toward the gates of a new city. By the side of the road sat an old wise woman who hailed the traveler, "Welcome." "What kind of people are they who live here?" the traveler asked. "How did you find them in the home city you left?" asked the wise woman. "They were gossips, mean-spirited, and often selfish, difficult to get along with. You'll find the people of this city to be likewise." Later, a second stranger passed by and was welcomed by the old woman. "What kind of people are they who live here?" the second traveler asked. "How did you find them in your home city?" And you know how this is going to go, right? "They were fine people, industrious, open-minded, easy to get along with. You'll find the people of this city to be likewise." Kind of interesting, right? That this wise woman, she knows that how you expected people to be in one setting is often how you see them in another setting. Just recognizing that people are a range of ways. There's a whole mixture, and we can just interpret their behaviors or the things that they say or the things that they do in so many different ways. You might find the exact same actions interpreted differently. So loving kindness practice is a way which can help us interpret people's behavior, speech, emails, all these things in a generous way, which helps us discover the generosity of so many people, the well-being of so many people. I don't think I'm telling you all anything you don't already know. I think so many of us have this experience, but it's just something to think about, that these, maybe the upward spiral that can happen with the loving kindness practice and some meditation practice in general, but kind of changing the, maybe the default story or the receptivity or the openness that we might have with people that we are encountering. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's do some kindness practice. So we'll begin with just feeling settled, settling in, maybe feeling the connection of the chair or cushion, maybe feeling the pressure the feet against the feet. And bringing our awareness to sitting. That is to sit and know you're sitting. And bringing a certain awareness, certain presence to the bodily experience. And to support a sense of ease, we can do a gentle body scan, checking in with the face, the areas around the eyes, the jaw, checking in with the shoulders, allowing the shoulder blades to slide down the back. Letting the chest be soft and open. Maybe there's a tiny, small little movement, the shoulders going back a little bit, that allows the chest to open up. Softening the belly. And again, feeling connected or grounded with the chair, the cushion, whatever our body is being supported by, and the legs. my notice, of course, that the body is breathing. So resting the attention on the sensations of breathing. And when we find ourselves lost in thought, we just very simply, gently begin again. This practice of tuning into the sensations of the body is always available to us. If we feel overwhelmed or doesn't seem right for some whatever reason to be doing loving kindness practice, we can always come back to this practice. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's easy to feel warm-heartedness, feel benevolence, care, goodwill, respect, warmth. Whichever word or combination of words resonate for you. For some people, bringing a lovable being to mind is simple and straightforward. Be it if you have an imagination or trained as an artist, for example, or for some other people, it might not be quite so easy to visualize. It's perfectly fine, however it is. And whether this lovable being is someone you know, or maybe even an imaginary puppy, kitten, baby, allowing yourself to feel the warmth, care, respect. You have for this being. Is there any shift in your experience? And then to support our cultivating this experience of loving kindness, this warm-heartedness, you can repeat phrases. May you be safe. May may you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Maybe refreshing the image or the sense of connection with the lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Allowing yourself to feel or experience any warm feelings that might arise. Maybe there's a little more sense of ease, relaxation. Maybe there's some literal warmth. Maybe a sense of softness or spaciousness. And even if this is just a small part of your experience, allowing this to support you maybe to be a foundation for well-wishing. And then to expand our loving kindness, building from this foundation, this experience of warm-heartedness, which again might not arise, it's perfectly fine. We're just creating the conditions. It's not always there. But to expand our intention, if not the actual experience, to ourselves. In the same way, bringing an image of oneself or perhaps the felt experience of this moment. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Again, it can be helpful to check in with the sensations of the body and allowing any feelings of warmth or spaciousness to be a support. even if they're just a small sliver of your experience. We can tune into those. And sometimes with the tuning in, there's a growing. So we can just allow the growing, the increase in size. Not trying to make it be bigger, just allowing it to become bigger. And then to expand our loving kindness again, for a neutral person, somebody we don't know, or somebody we don't have a relationship with, might be somebody on this Zoom call, might be somebody that we see frequently in the neighborhood or grocery store. It's not always easy, but if we can bring them to mind, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Maybe like the story of a traveler coming to a new town. And the wise person saying, essentially, yeah, the people in this town will be just like how you found people in your hometown. If we can find a way to have some warmth towards people we don't know, can really shift our experience of being in the world. Thinking about how many people you encounter that you don't know. Running errands. Perhaps working. Driving. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Maybe with the neutral person, takes a little bit more effort because we're not tangled up with them in some way. They're not as sticky, so to speak. Might be helpful to dip back into loving kindness for the lovable being or for yourself if it feels a little dry or inaccessible. Maybe fan the flames a little bit. And it can also be helpful to do some equanimity practice to support our being balanced with our loving kindness practice. So bring to mind somebody that you care about. And sometimes they are a little bit irksome. Bringing this person to mind, we'll say a different phrase. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground, feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body, and when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea of how we will find people, how we will, whether they're gossiping and mean-spirited or kind and generous, of course, has a lot to do with how we approach them or how we experience it, how we are. And loving kindness practice can help us to maybe tune into the warmth that's naturally in the heart. So it can be really helpful to talk about some of these ideas or some of these experiences. So I'd like to invite you to some breakout rooms where you'll have a chance to speak with some others and to maybe explore this idea and just setting them up here. Multitasking a little bit here. And so you can talk about that idea, or you could talk about just how your experience was for that last meditation. You could just describe, but you could, perhaps you fell asleep the whole time, you're not even quite sure what happened, or you were jumping out of your skin and couldn't wait for it to be over, right? There's a whole range that we can have. So it's also just an opportunity to talk to some other people. So you'll have 12 minutes and you'll be in groups of 3 or 4. So have fun. Okay, so welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Would anybody like to say a few words, share how that was, maybe had a new idea, or maybe learn something new about yourself, or something you'd like to share about how that was in the small groups? Nobody wants to?
I could always yabber. So one of the things that we talked about in our group was, how do you how do you draw the line or navigate a situation where you're looking to be open-hearted and charitable to someone, and they're being, you know, destructive, you know, in some way, either to you or potentially to, you know, the situation, right? How do you navigate that situation?
Yeah. It's so important that we set clear boundaries. So being kind and generous doesn't mean that we allow that to happen. I know somebody who says, who leaves the room, actually, when they feel like when somebody's speaking them disrespectfully, saying, you know, this isn't helpful for me and for you, I'm going to leave the room now. So maybe we don't have to do that quite that large of a gesture, but by no means does this mean that we should allow people to mistreat us or disrespect us. But we don't have to disrespect others or mistreat them either. But we can say, this isn't helpful. I think that, you know, I'm going to leave this conversation, or this conversation needs to stop, or it's not appropriate to speak to me in that way, or I don't know, some version of that. But I'm saying this, recognizing this is not easy. This is not easy to sometimes keep the, really set the boundaries and let people know what's appropriate and not appropriate for us.
Somebody mentioned they have difficulties with family member or members, you know, so they, you know, they can't shake them off.
Yeah, this, but yes, absolutely right. So especially if we live with them, right? It's going to be really difficult. And wow, is this hard. This is really hard. I don't want to sit here and say, oh yeah, just, you know, set boundaries. But this work is so important to, even if we're maybe not able to say no at that time, you know, this takes practice and work to, especially with, you know, loved ones or people that we live with, that are family members. But maybe one thing is to separate their actions from the person. In some ways saying, okay, this action that they're doing, what they're saying or the thing that they're doing is inappropriate and is unhelpful and maybe even just flat out harmful. But it doesn't mean that they are inherently all around a bad person. And to somehow kind of like separate, like, okay, this activity that they're doing is inappropriate. I'll just use this word, inappropriate. But it, to not completely close our hearts. So there's this expression, what is it, that we might throw people out of our life, but we don't want to throw them out of our hearts. That is not that we have to love them, but to have this still a sense of openness in this, maybe openness isn't the right word, maybe more of a sense of non-closed, that not being completely dismissive, right? Not writing them off or something like this, just saying, you know, as long as they behave in this particular way, it's harmful for me, it's not helpful for us. So right now, I'm choosing to not speak with them or to do some other action. I don't know if that's helpful.
This seems both wise and beautiful. Thank you.
I found your reference, or the discussion, or it wasn't a story you told actually, but at the beginning about projecting onto a situation, you know, continuing to repeat the same pattern, because I've caught myself very recently doing exactly that and knowing I was doing it. And I haven't quite figured out how to get out of it, but the meditation does help. It was just such a funny coincidence that, you know, you landed exactly on the problem I'm dealing with. And if the problem is me, it's not them, but
Yeah, thank you, Claire. And, you know, it begins with our seeing, just like you're describing. That's exactly how it begins, right? Is that we start to see, oh, yeah, okay, this is a habit or this is a pattern that I fall into, and then more we become familiar with it, then maybe we can become familiar with, okay, here are the conditions in which it's more apt to arise. And maybe we can take away some of those conditions. I'm just making this up. Maybe when we're hungry or when we're tired or when that person in the past we felt slighted by or something like this, just knowing all these types of things can help us and take the power away from some of these patterns and habits.
Well, not reacting to them also helps.
Yeah.
As soon as I react to it, then I'm in the story. But yeah. If I don't react, then the story can change.
Absolutely. And also to have compassion for ourselves. This is hard work, setting boundaries, seeing our own patterns that sometimes aren't helpful. It's not easy. So in some ways, loving kindness for ourselves, compassion for ourselves is an integral part of this because it's not a straight line. It's not fast. But it's, I would say, some of the most important work to do. Really worthwhile. Okay, so thank you. Thank you for that. It's 2 minutes past the hour. Usually I'm saying top of the hour, right? So here we are, 2 minutes past the hour. If you're in California, it's 7 p.m. If you're in Australia, it's not 7 p.m. I don't know what time it is.
It's 2 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon.
2 p.m. on Wednesday. Okay. Thank you, Marie-Christine. And some of you I know are on the East Coast, so it's 10 p.m. Wherever you are, it's lovely to practice with you all. And I'd like to invite you to unmute yourself and we can say goodbye in a kind of noisy way. I love doing this in some ways. So bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Diana.
Love you both. We'll see you tomorrow.
Because
I'm leaving the room doesn't mean anybody's done anything to offend me.
Thank you so much, Diana. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.